All right, welcome. Small things that make a big difference. I'm curious, how many of you, since you've read this title, have paid attention to the small things that make a big difference? Some. I really do think some of those small things are so small that we don't notice them. We don't think of it, that those are actually the small things that make a big difference. I'm just going to read a few of the sentences that I have in this thing here. Do small things really make a difference? A big difference? And who does it affect? Can anyone do these small things, or does it have to be an adult? Some small things make positive and negative differences, but I do want to focus on the positive differences today. I think we'd be very, very amazed at how much of an impact it makes on these small things. They say it's good to do research before you have a topic, and that is exactly what I did. I did some research, and I decided if it's to be for what moms and school boards ladies can do for the teacher, I went directly to a bunch of teachers and asked, what are the small things that you like? So, because we can't all do everything, and if you're doing some of the things and not all the things, don't feel that you're just really falling short by not doing the whole list, because we don't all have the same interests, we don't all have the same talents, we can't do everything. That's just the way it is. So don't feel that you haven't accomplished if you don't do them all. And it does us good to be aware of ways that we can do it. I am not a poem writer of any description, but I thought I needed a poem for this. So I hired a friend of mine who writes poems, and she came up with a really good poem for me. So I'm going to read it, and I want yous to watch and listen for the things that somebody did, and watch and listen for the things that somebody received, and then think about it. What category does that put you in? Can you do those small things? And I'll try and read it in with enough expression that you can get it. So here it starts. As a child, I cried. I wanted some cuddles, my blanket, a story, and mommy time snuggles. I asked to do all the things that you did, help with the dishes, sweep the floor, knead the bread. When I had an ouchie, I came running to you. You'd rub it, kiss it, and I'd feel like new. Do you see those little things? And so the caregiver, the mother, the grandmother, big sister, big brother, whoever it was, did those, met those little needs. As I grew older, you still would be there to come and see the treasures I had to share. I'd arrive home from school with stories galore. You'd hand me a cookie and listen some more. You took interest in programs and oral reports, gave help, encouragement, and all the needed support. Now, that was school age. Now there's a next step. When I entered my teens, life took on a new twist. I no longer liked to be snuggled and kissed. I noted my lunch or on my blackboard, a verse or an inspiration you shared, a coffee at work, a bouquet of flowers, chatting together for a few hours, or lending a book you thought I should see. Those were the things that stuck with me. And that can be anybody that does that. Anybody. You don't have to be up here in age. You can be quite little by giving a bouquet of flowers. How many of you have received a wilted dandelion? You know, I hope you were thankful for them, because they are a treasure. Now the next phase. Then I was a mother with 3 under 5, and some days felt more dead than alive. You sent me some baking and a girl to clean. You sympathized and said, you know how I'm feeling, on birthdays or random times of the year. A note or a card would bring me some cheer. When I was dragged down by gloom and despair, you reminded me Jesus is always there. Does that stop when you can do little things for somebody else? Now it's the teenage girls helping the mom with 3 under 5. Now, what about when you get a bit older? The next phase. As I grow old and a little bit frail, I delighted in letters sent through the mail. The thoughtfulness of cushions on my chair or an arm to guide me from here to there. The door held open and the floor cleared of clutter. Those small things made my life better. This last one. No matter my age or place in life, a mother, a teacher, a minister's wife, a school-age child, a toddler, a teen, it's those small things that mostly go unseen that make the biggest difference. And I've known it for a little bit about this topic, and so I've been paying attention to some little things, and it is really, really amazing. Those little things that make all the difference, make a big difference. Anybody can be the giver. Anybody can be the receiver of those little things. It's mostly, I'd like to focus mostly on what we can do for teachers, but keep thinking about it, that it just goes way beyond, like just way beyond the classroom and school. Here's another quote that I came across. Understanding the effects of the small things in life bring the conclusion that in reality, there are very few small things. So to me, it might be a really small thing, but to the receiver, it meant all the world. It's just what they needed that moment, that little moment. And I'm also very convinced that the Lord will tell you when, you know, just give that little phone call or send a little note in the mail. You have no idea what they're facing right then and there, and it might be just what they needed. And same with the teacher. One teacher said she was having a fairly rough day, and then a little girl in grade one came to school that very day with a square, like a square to eat, and she herself, this little girl, thought it was really good, and she wanted to give her teacher one. So the mom just quickly didn't have, you know how moms are in the morning, everything's hectic, so she quickly grabbed a piece of paper off of her her store list and scribbled on a note, "Sally wanted to give you this square. Have a good day." And she said the mother had no way of knowing, nobody knew that it was going to be a rough day, but that was just what she needed, just a square. So it doesn't have to be fancy paper, just any paper, obviously. I do want to bring out four examples from the Bible. I also noticed that in the Bible there's terrific amount of examples of small things that make a big difference. I chose four. What about the lad that went to hear Jesus? He took a little lunch. How many people did it feed? A small thing makes a huge difference. It fed more than 5,000 people. A small thing makes a big difference. What about the king that dipped in the river seven times? He was expecting some grand and glorious show, all kinds of attention and glamorous whatnot, and all he had to do was go dip in the river seven times, but he was cured. It's the small thing that made a big difference. If he wouldn't have gone, David with his five stones, he killed a giant. Just five little stones. And then the other one, Elisha was fed by the birds. Have you ever been fed by a bird? And that kept you alive? I doubt it, but it did. It made a big difference. If he wouldn't have eaten what the bird brought, the results would have been different. Now, like I said, I went to interview teachers. I had a very interesting, enjoyable time. One thing I want you to know, that the teachers were not just waiting for a chance to just lay it on thick. Like, here's my chance to tell the moms. That was not at all. They're very, very happy with what's, but it was, I found it very, very interesting. One thing that came through over and over is support. But I decided the word support is like a huge umbrella. And all those things that they pointed, brought out are all little things underneath that umbrella. I'm curious what you think of when you think of support. One thing, small things make a big difference. My children say that my hearing isn't so good. So a small thing that makes a big difference is if you speak up so we can all hear. That would make a big difference. Support. What comes to your mind when you think of supporting the teacher? How many of you have been teachers? Good. I would like to tell you that even if you were never in the classroom, you are still a teacher. And if you are not presently behind a classroom desk, you are still a teacher. Support. What comes to your mind when you think of support? Prayer. Definitely. Definitely. And you can tell them, you can slip a note with your child, you can call them, you can let them know. How there's many ways of letting them know. Prayer, definitely. Any others? Visiting school. For sure. The children's faces light up when, at least the younger ones, when visitors come in the door. That shows a lot of support. And that was another thing that quite a few of the teachers said. They just really like the visitors. It shows support. Anything else? Yes?
Interest and involvement in what goes on at school.
Very much so. Interest and involvement in what goes on at school. And that includes when they have reports, when they have experiments, they have to supply things for experiments, they have to supply things for, or maybe even helping them with the research and stuff. Yes?
Being approachable. If the teacher knows she's always welcome to talk to you about anything that's going on at school, especially with your children.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Be approachable. That goes a long way. Some of us might be kind of prickly when the teacher calls and says, today, and our guards go up. They shouldn't, but we are human. Did I see another hand? Yes?
Showing approval, or expressing approval to what a teacher may have made a decision at school, and even if you aren't real sure about it with your children, you should show approval.
Yes, show approval, definitely, definitely. Show approval. Anything else?
Sometimes as a teacher you might not be so sure if you're doing the right thing for a child or if you're getting through to them, or to have a parent tell you that you're doing well with it or your helps you to sort of be able to keep going with it.
Right. Communication. That's right. Anything else? Yes?
On a very practical level, just little gifts or seasonal things is what I was thinking right now. Donuts and maple syrup or daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
Peonies or whatever. I know my daughter does school and my mother's had this huge peony bed and she always had this big one peony bag in the classroom that everybody enjoyed. It doesn't have to be fancy.
No.
That was
another thing that came through, quite different versions of the same thing. To give, like, don't hesitate to give stuff. And like that little girl I had mentioned earlier with a little square, but bouquets of flowers. There's very few teachers, if any, that don't appreciate flowers. And all kinds of, if your child wants to make a craft and you looking at it, you know that really, what is he or she going to use that for? Well, it's the thought behind it that counts, whether it's made with needle and thread and huge stitches, or if it's a boy that wanted to have a piece of wood and do some work with it, it might look. But it's the thought behind it that counts. I came across some stuff just very recently that I got from my students, and that's been quite a while ago. And that really does mean something. So if your children want to make something for the teacher, let them. Yes?
Again, with food, we had Sister Elizabeth mention one time she got too much food.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that out. Sister Elizabeth is my sister. Yes, I do know that. But do you know what she did with some of that stuff? She kept it and waited till the nieces and nephews came, and then they had delight.
I think she mentioned it at a meeting one time.
Yes.
She kind of reminded the parents.
I'm very glad you brought that out, because there might be food allergies or something like that, and it does not always have to be food. That is right. And if there is sensitivity to food, maybe. Yes? That's right. It tends to be the love language of, I know. Yes. Yeah, and but like you. Yes. That's right. And if there's nieces and nephews and even sisters that like to eat, this is, you know. Pardon? Yes, there you always was enough to share. Definitely.
Sometimes the children gave up their lunch to the teacher that wasn't quite what they would prefer, so they gave their sandwich.
Oh! Yes, definitely. Yes. The sandwich is something they have to eat. Like, yes. So maybe as mothers, we can make sure that if you're going to give something to the teacher, it's going to have to be an extra packed thing. Unless the teacher forgot her lunch. Which shouldn't happen that often at this age. Along with food, now that we're on the subject of food, I talked with a mother, and we got onto this thing about breakfast, getting breakfast into these children, because you, as a teacher, you can tell if they're sort of sluggish or like, well, it's not always because they didn't eat breakfast, but eating breakfast is a good thing to help them study. One mother said she insists that her children eat two things for breakfast, and it can be any two things, like maybe a toast and a banana, or a banana and a muffin or something, but it has to be two things. They can't go to the house to school until they ate two things. And I thought that's wise, very wise, because it does help them study and think clearer if they had breakfast.
Sometimes we have to encourage the teachers to eat breakfast too.
That's true. Yes. It would be a good thing if the teacher had breakfast. That is true. And another thing on food. We may as well talk about food for a bit here. Packed lunches for the teachers, like it was mentioned a little bit. One teacher said that every once in a while, there's some that just call and say, we're going to pack your lunch next week, Wednesday. And that's nice. Now, let's not do it all the time, or it won't be a treat anymore. If it's done all the time, it's no longer a treat. But she says she really appreciates that. Just every once in a while, then she has a break from packing her own lunch. What I can see happening then, maybe not every home is like whatever, but so Billy and Henry were packing her lunch today, so it becomes a peer pressure thing. We want to do that too. And so if the mothers don't monitor that, all of a sudden she'll have 2 weeks solid, somebody's packing her lunch. Then into March and April and May, when she's busy with this and that and report cards and whatnot all, she can pack her own lunch. If she's capable to teach, she's capable to pack her lunch. But then if it's too thick in one, then it's sort of the novelty of it, or the specialty of it wears off. So spread that out. But that can be done by communication too. Like if your children come home and say that today this family packed lunch, well, then you know that this week somebody packed her lunch. So mental note, maybe check into it in a month or so. Anything else that comes to your mind for whatever, support or food? Yes? No, that's fine.
One thing that's really interesting, and here the fathers can get involved too, is if you find something unusual at home, like one of our sons had a great horned owl actually fetching his ducks off the ponds, the ones he was raising for meat, so he actually got permission to shoot it, and he took it to school. And that, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Others bring newborn lambs, or just a
hands-on science.
Well, hands-on science. It can be anything, but something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That they might fossils from Kentucky or
yes, that's things, right. So. That reminds me of when I was in school. Then one morning, Aiden Martin, some of you know him, came to school. And on the way to school, they had found a big snapping turtle beside the road. And so he had it in the back of his pickup. And that was very interesting. Some of the braver people had sticks. And, you know, we caught on in a hurry that we want to keep our fingers away from that mouth. But, yes, those are things students will remember. And the teacher. Some of those things are better science teachers than straight out of the book. Yes, definitely. That's right. It is. Now, some of the more basic things. It came through several times. Thank you for the hot lunch and crock pot days. If you don't know what crock pot days are, then find somebody that does know, because I'm not going to spend time talking about that. But they do appreciate that. The weekly cleaning, that means a lot to them. They are very happy with that. And if you want to invite the teachers, it's always nice to have them somewhere throughout the term. It came through several times too that don't all wait until May. That's when you are busy and so are they. You can start right back in September already to start inviting them. And you can have them more than once. It's not like, whew, that's done. You know, you could do it more than once if you feel so inclined. What about keeping children out of school? It came through several times that keeping children out of school for just random things is not appreciated. Those of you who were teachers, how many of you liked teaching long division more than once because a child was out of school for a farm show or sledding or whatever. I realize, and you did, you know it too, that there is times when you have to keep a child out, whether they're sick or if there's weddings and funerals to travel to, like we're not talking about those things. I'm talking about the things that in my former teacher mind would not have been necessary. Teaching long division twice is not really fun. And they would have really benefited from having the class discussion right the first time. Now, if they're sick, that's a complete different category. And then keeping them home when they're sick too, that's hard to know in the mornings. They just out of bed, like how sick really are they? It is hard to know. And I know I sent a child to school once and then the teacher called and said, could you come get your child? He is sick. So, well, sorry. I didn't realize, so I went and got him. But that can happen. If your child is going to be sick or is sick and you decide to keep him home, let the teacher know in advance so she or he can get the homework ready. One teacher told me that she had three mothers standing in line by her desk at 5 to 9 waiting for homework because none of them had called in advance. She didn't know that they were going to be missing. And she had some of her own things that she wanted to accomplish yet real quick. And so there she was. She said that the whole day sort of went kind of rotten, which I can understand that. It would be as if you have 3 or 4 things cooking on the stove and the doorbell goes and the phone goes. Who and what is going to get attention? It will be cooked over, unless you had the presence of mind or the time to turn things off. But the teacher that had three mothers standing in line didn't have the chance to turn the burners off. So keep that in mind, if possible. There's always those times, those things that are unavoidable. But if you don't bring your child along to school because he or she is sick, then quickly call the teacher before you go to school so that they can...
Isn't there something else there that we should try and teach our girls that teach to be in school on time, that they have time for
the yes. interruptions? Yes. Yes. Teachers need to be on time. That's right. As well as parents. That was another thing that came through. Have your children at school on time. But on the other hand, not too early either. But if it's always consistently the same family that's late, then if it happens, if you slipped in the ditch or you hit a flat tire or helped somebody else, those things are not the norm. But normally, if possible, have them there on time. And then also for pickup afterwards, pick them up on time. And if you can't be there on time, maybe let them know or tell your children that they stay out of the school if it's not pouring rain. Get them to stay, wait outside or somewhere so the teachers can start their after-school chores, because there is after-school chores. Checking and preparing for the next day.
Mm-hmm. There's a life is a life of teaching and learning self-discipline. While we can keep them out of school for sledding, we're going to have a far harder time to convince them in 16 and 17 that they don't need to go to Toronto for a day of fun when they're trying to hold a job.
That's
if we as parents get them out of school for sledding.
That is right.
Said there's many things yeah. in life, but and I must say, even with eating breakfast,
mm-hmm.
And it's where we, if we're profitable when we're out of school, we need to learn self-discipline
in school. That's right. So if we expect our teenagers to hold a job when they have a job, to stick to it, that is picked up right in school already. If we keep them out for just random anyhow things, then... But like we said earlier, like appointments, depends what type of appointments, but some things are unavoidable, and that's for the good of the child too. So, and another one that had was, how about those lost and found boxes? I always marvel at those. There's a few teachers that said, have your children like have the stuff labeled, because I just marvel at the end of whenever somebody mentions that here's a lost and found box, check through it for your stuff. It's full of stuff that nobody ever saw. I have no idea how that happens, and I'm guessing stuff from our house ended up in there too. But so maybe label your stuff, then the teachers can just look at it. EM. Oh, Ellen Martin. There you go. That's hers.
That happened a while ago at Carlton Church. My sister, she's make sure the cleaning gets done and stuff. And she had that lost and found box there for who knows how long. And it stayed, sweaters, whatever. So finally, she says, I'm done. I'm bringing it to the Goodwill store.
Good idea.
Well, wouldn't you know it, next week, one mother calls and says they're missing a sweater. You have to go buy it back.
Tell her to go to the thrift store.
She did. Yes.
Well, I guess that's her problem. She had to buy it twice. But it's less aggravation all around. But it's probably, I don't know, put yourself in the child's shoes. Like, sort of embarrassing. Like, this is like, oh, that's my scarf or my mittens, but they look really dog-eared and dirty. Like, oh, they're not mine. They're not mine.
We have six sons, and they're kind of stereotyped. So there was a lot of socks. There was a lot of mittens and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
is on the agenda for the day, this Blossom Ball box. Mom's look through this box and if it looks like yours. And he had it on the desk in front of him. He started holding up things and the first five things were ours. And
I think so. Yes, well, maybe it'd be good for us mothers to be embarrassed so that we do label it. Yeah. Another one, it is not a daycare center. This is from a grade one and two teacher, quite obviously. This is not a daycare center. Wait until they are old enough to send them to school. And what is old enough? I'm not going to tell you because I don't know your children, really. But they might be ready academically. Like, they really might be smart enough to do. They might know, maybe they can read before they go to school. But do they know all the other things about school? Can they sit? Do they know what no means? That was... like, do they know what no means? Or are they going to throw themselves on the floor and kick and fuss because I didn't get my way? Do they know what no means? And really, what is the rush? Yes, there is a rush to get them to school. Not a rush, but we do want them to go when they're old enough and when it's time. But let's just make sure they're ready because it's not a daycare. The teacher has her hands full enough without children there that are just not quite ready. And like
sometimes
I said,
sometimes when they're on the verge of, you know, the actual, you know, when they can go as far as their age,
right?
They're not emotional.
Exactly. Yes, they might be ready as far as age and work, but not emotionally. That is a good point. Bored wives. One teacher said, when she was a first-time teacher, she was sort of intimidated by all these men that came to check into her job. Go along with your husband or do, like, check in with her yourself because she might be more comfortable talking to you than to your husband alone. Like, you know, so, and one teacher said they had, I think, I'm not sure how often, but approximately every week, not quite every week, but approximately, the school board chairman and his wife came in just every, like, once a week, approximately, just to check up on them, like, if you have any questions, concerns, or whatever. Just, and I thought that was a good picture of communication. And, they said, she always brought snack. They like the snack. Teachers like that. Yes. Yes, let the husband be the board member. Thank you for bringing that out. Yes. Yes, but it is the, yes. Yeah. Let him be the board member. Yeah, and I know this, of course, I know which teacher said it, right? So, and I know that she would have meant it in the way, it's just a little bit more relaxing if there's another lady along. But yes, I'm glad you brought that out because it is, the man is on the board. Responsibility was another one. Is there any reason that they can't put garbage where it belongs? I never liked it, seeing whether I was teaching or even substituting or even at home, when garbage off of the table just onto the floor and the cleaners or mom will come pick it up. I have very little tolerance for that. So I personally, maybe I'm too strong on that, and if I am, then tell me. But I really do think if they're old enough to go to school, they are old enough to put garbage where it belongs. They're old enough to get dressed by themselves. Now, I know that sometimes maybe it's stuck. Like, I'm talking about normal circumstances. If they're old enough to come to school and there's no physical handicap, they are very capable of getting their own coats on. They might need help if you didn't do your mending to get the zipper up. But under normal circumstances, they should know how to close their coat. They should with soon into grade one, they should know how to tie. I'm not going to insist that they have to know it before they go to grade one, because I don't remember if ours did. But they should know right shortly. Yes?
As a parent, if your child doesn't know how to tie, then there's certainly shoes.
Yes.
Or Velcro. You should buy shoes that your child can put on.
That's right.
Our children could not all tie. Our boys, just some of them were 7 or 8 before they could tie.
But there's Velcro shoes. That's right. Yes. Because can you imagine a grade one teacher with grade one and two, maybe grade three, depends on your schools. Picture the school that you represent, the younger classroom. If the teacher has to line up grade one and two and close up their coats, tie their shoes, tie their scarf, would they get out for recess? Not much. Now, for the teacher to help and keep things organized and flowing, that's she's called to do that, to help, like, make sure it gets going. But they should know how to do that. Because you don't have, picture your classroom again that you represent, your school. Do you have that many, the 6-year-olds at your house? That many 7-year-olds at your house? That many 8-year-olds at your house? There's things that you would do different probably than what you do if you had, because normally, often they only come one at a time, sometimes twins, even less often triplets, but that does happen. And from there on, you very likely don't have as many in your home as what there is in some school settings that age. And be mannerly. Teach them to be mannerly. How many of you like going to school and the teacher has a hard time keeping those little heads turned to the front because they're so intent on looking at the visitors, just staring and staring and staring? The teacher has an important role to fill at school, very important, and I don't want to minimize that. But there's a lot of things that we as parents can do at home, and being mannerly is one of them. When they have a cold, how often does the teacher have to tell them to go clean their nose? I know it happens, and they are only 6 years old or 7. But do you always have to remind them? Maybe I'm being too hard on them. Maybe. But something to think about. And as they get older, be sensitive to body odors. That's another one that is, if those of you who have taught, you love all your students. I know that the teachers love all their students, but it really does help if at 9 o'clock in the morning, if they don't spell at 9 o'clock in the morning, like it could happen at 3:30, like they're, you know. But then I know, like, that's, you as mothers figure that one out. Involvement in flashcards and stuff. Those of you, how many of you have a grade oneer at home? And if your curriculum is like the one I'm used to, then there's flashcards and there's all kinds of stuff to do that you can do. One teacher said that she has, presently this year, she has a grade oneer that learned very, very hard, very hard. And they have a big family. I have no idea how many children because I don't know the family. And that included in that is a handicapped child, special needs child. So I would say she's a busy mom, but she takes time every evening or every morning to do one-on-one flashcard or something with that child. And the teacher said that makes a terrific difference on that child. Just even the fact that mom took time out of her schedule to, you know. And teachers can tell, whether you like it or not, those of you who have never taught, whether you like it or not, teachers can tell whether they have your full support or partial support. Whether you mean it, you know, I don't have anything or anybody in mind, so I don't even know why I'm saying this. But, and sometimes we might do things and say things that we just wouldn't have, if we would have really known what actually they might have taken up by what I said. And that's really maybe not what I meant. And if I would have thought things through, I might have known that that's actually not what I should have said. But so help along, and that is where the word communicate comes in again. If the teacher says it would really help if your little grade oneer would read his or her story every night, then she probably had a reason for saying that. So, and even for flashcards, like if you have that, then there's probably a reason for doing flashcards. Actually, not just probably, there is a reason for doing flashcards and drill. Misunderstandings can happen. So sometimes a teacher calls and says, you know what, your Peter today, he did thus and thus. Oh, well, I don't have that problem at home. So are you sure? How many of you, don't tell me, but just think about it. Like, have we actually thought that? Like when the teacher calls and says, you know, today Peter did this and this, and well, you just know that you don't have that problem. Like, you've never seen that problem at home. Well, probably you didn't, because how many of his peers live at your place? And there's things that they do in the presence of friends, out of the presence of your his parents, that, you know, you might, it's just the way it is. Like, no slap or slam on anyone. It's just human nature. But we do the teacher a terrific favor by listening and communicating. So let it not be said that, so when the teacher calls me to say that they had a problem with my Peter, that I don't say, I don't think so, but well, let me check into it and see what he has to say. Now, on the other hand, sometimes it is okay to do that, because sometimes you really do need to check into it. You have to check into it. But there is always two or more sides to a story. As I was thinking about this, I thought there's always two sides to the story. And then I got to thinking that, no, there's often there's more than two sides to a story. But what do? When the teacher calls and says, today, Peter, and I thought this over and I couldn't come up with any good illustration. So I think of one right now. I caught Peter passing a lot of notes, and he knows he's not allowed to pass notes. And I got a hold of the one note, and it was a very disrespectful note. And you didn't know that he had disrespect issues. What are you going to do? You might say, well, okay, well, I'll check into it. And then a little bit later, you talk with Peter, and he says, but Jake did it first. So you call the teacher back and say, yes, I talked to Peter, and he admitted that he did it, but he said Jake started it. Jake did it first. Is that support? I'll let you decide that. Maybe it helps get the story together for the teacher. It might help categorize or like get the story together. But it has never helped to pass my problems on to somebody else. So if, go ahead. Yes. Take care of Peter and then call the teacher about, yes. And does Peter have to know everything that the research and stuff you do into it? I am very strong on that. Peter does not need to know everything that you and the teacher talked about. If it's involving him, he needs to know that there's communication between you and the teacher about him, but he does not need to know word for word everything that was said. I am maybe overboard strong that way, but that is a strong feeling I have. Peter does not need to know. Yes? Yes. Yes, I will get to that, but it fits right in with this. It was right here. So yes, that was what another teacher said, that school board children should not know. Now, I was raised in a home where my dad was the school board member, and it bugged us that we would get to school and we would hear of some of these other children that knew things that happened from board meeting the night before, and we had no clue. Not a word. Now, some things you will automatically know, because if you live in the same house, some things you just will know, right? And especially back in those days when the cords were only about this long. And then there's some things that you knew, but we were strictly informed that our mouth. But looking back, that was the best thing that could, like, we just did not find out. Like, I felt cheated at the time, but looking back, that was, we just did not need to know. Yes? That is right. That should be right. The teacher should have that privilege to say, or however it gets done, but the school board children should not be coming to school and saying, teacher so-and-so is or is not staying. That is, in my mind, the school board has an important job, but the children are not on the school board. Yes?
Tracking to teacher versus student.
Yes.
Teachers aren't always right.
That's right.
But I think our students, our children, should always think that I'm really not going to get very far with mom or dad.
Yeah.
Teacher's always right.
That's right.
And it's okay.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Parents can make.
You want it, but I think we can nowadays get so caught up. You know, hear so much, like you have to consider your child's.
Oh, yes. We are called, yes.
And they get by with as much as they
yes. Children will be children, and parents and teachers all make mistakes. But that's where the word communication comes in again. It is really good to communicate. Another thing was, don't believe everything you say, you hear. On the other hand, all things deserve to be checked into. So here's an example. The teacher overhears Mike at noon while they were eating saying, last night, my mom went to sleep with me in my bed. So this happened since Christmas. It's a true story. So what are you going to do? Is that she watched the rest of the class, and some of them had the sandwiches mid-stride. They stopped, and some eyes and mouths opened. And so what? Anyway, and then he paused for a bit. Then he said, sometimes when it's warm, she sleeps outside with the dogs. But when it's cold, she sleeps inside with us children. And so she thought, well, it was high time to, you know, change the subject. So she, wise teacher, she did. Incidentally, that very mother came to clean school that night. So she thought, check into this. So long story short, she told the mother what happened, and then she said, well, did he tell you that the reason I do sleep with him in his bed is because he's terrified to go upstairs alone, and he's the only one that goes to school, so he has to go to bed earlier. So, but no, he never mentioned that he's scared to be up there alone, and so she'll go up with him to relax him, just make him feel comfortable. And then she ends up falling asleep on the foot end of his bed while he's still trying to go to sleep. And where this thing comes in about sleeping with the dogs, she said she has no clue. All she can figure out is that the dogs are her hobby, her whatever, her thing. And so she will often in the evening just go out and check on them to make sure everything's okay. But she has never in her life slept with a dog. So I don't know. Check into things. There are some things that really do need some serious checking into. Like sometimes things are a lot worse than what you actually know. So check into those things. But your children do not need to know when and who you checked into things with. I just got the notice that I only have 5 minutes left, and I so much really wanted to talk about teachers or parents facing issues, whether it's tragedy, health issues. Some of the basics, one was for the parents with, well, anybody, teachers or parents, weep with them that weep. and rejoice with them that do rejoice. A hearty handshake, a listening ear, listening. That's for all, straight across the board. Meals, but then again, be sensitive to food allergies and such like. And there is never a time when it's not right to pray. And there's never a time when it's not right to tell somebody that you're praying for them. I have no idea when that would be in order to not do that. There's more like flowers and sharing memories of somebody that passed away. Like, share those memories with them. If you feel the inclination to do that, do so. I did talk with two teachers that are facing health issues. And I got an amazing amount of things. One thing was, if she's capable of teaching, still capable of teaching, let her teach. And on the heels of that, don't have me buried before I'm dead. And she would know. She's the one that's sick. She would know. And another thing she said, there was two of them. So when I say she, it could be both, probably is, because it was very similar. If they do need a substitute for appointments or you name it, be ready to do it. If the knock comes on you to do it if you can. Now, I realize not everybody can. I understand that. But if, fill in where you can, whether it's driving to them to appointments or treatments, whatever it is, if you have the chance to drive, maybe you can do that sooner than substitute. Just keep those things in mind. And visiting and phoning are great, but if they're focusing so much on treatments, and like I'm talking about cancer, these two teachers both have cancer, so there's treatments and stuff involved. And so if they're focusing, their body is focused on getting well, because they really do want to get well, they really do. And so then if they're focusing on getting well, have to get things ready for the substitute and then go off themselves and come back the next morning, pick up where it was left off. And then after school, when she's finally been able to be there for the whole day, she gets a whole pile of visitors and they just stay and stay and stay and stay. Or even in the evening, they just stay and stay. I don't know if that happened, but like, be sensitive to that. Watch for body language. Are they tired? Do they sound tired? Do they look tired? Do they act tired? And then, just a short little thing would be better than nothing. To have nobody show up and nobody phone isn't right either. So be sensitive to that. And just because you called to see, can I come visit today? And she says no, that doesn't mean that don't take that as an insult. It's no slap against you. It's just bad timing. Because don't we have the right to do that too sometimes, to say, no, it doesn't suit? So can't they? I think they can. One teacher had death in the family. Time's up. Okay, there was a death in the family just before school, and the board wives kicked in, and some other moms kicked in and did bulletin board stuff and did some decorating and stuff in the classroom and bouquets of flowers. Every so often, fresh bouquet of flowers. She really, really, that really meant a lot to her. I was going to talk some more, but time is up. I have a sheet here of small practical gifts for the teacher. If you're interested in that, you can talk to me later. Catch me or something. I'll carry the paper with me today. Thank you very much for your interest. And let's pay attention to those small things that make a big difference. And if you don't believe it that it makes a big difference, start looking for them. Thank you.